Shalom, Mishpachah. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and thanks for tuning in to the Shofar Ministries program. You know, Israel has been experiencing some terrorist incidents for a while now through stabbings, arsons, and bottle bombs requiring the prime minister to limit permits and visas to Palestinians as the first of a series of penalties for recent actions. Also, a faction of the Syrian Druze are not happy with Israel, who they claim is getting too involved with helping the Syrian rebels, who are now part of Al-Qaeda. And they're fighting on the Golan, which Israel is trying to protect. It's kind of complicated, to say the least, between all the different armies, to include ISIS. I often wonder how they figure out who's who in this Syrian conflict. And to add to all that, a scuffle could very well break out in the Mediterranean Sea if the soon-expected flotilla fleet tries to break through the Israel's naval blockade. Now, these ships want to, as before, bypass inspections to give so-called aid to the Gazans, which, if it was just harmless food supplies, it would easily go through Israeli inspections with no problems. So avoiding this can only mean they are smuggling weapons of something that is otherwise prohibited. And Israel says they will be stopped. Oh my, does history ever stop repeating itself? Well, I guess the answer to that is perhaps when we finally learn from it. In my opinion, we don't learn much, as we have just been informed in more detail, that the Iran deal is awful for Israel and America, for practically everything that was originally promised by President Obama to assure Israel of its acceptance has failed in all areas. We can only hope that Congress can overstep what the president is about to do on June 30th. And now I will ask my husband to open the program with prayer.
Okay, thanks, honey. Yeah, I don't know about the president and the Iran deal. Okay, Father God, we lift up to your throne our congressional leaders and the Supreme Court over some major decisions soon to be announced, and the Iran deal as its deadline quickly approaches. May your will be done. We continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and those who are listening right now, especially those who are called by your name, that any health issues remain small and that our burdens be light. For we know you carry us through all our afflictions. Bless the teachings tonight, and may it glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks. Well, I thought tonight I'd like to speak on two important and memorable dates on the Jewish calendar, because very soon one of them falls, this year that is, on a commemorative date on our Gentile calendar as well. But first, as we do each week, let's tell our listeners how easy it is to reach us with their prayer requests or to donate your love offerings to help keep this end of days ministry functioning.
Yes, you can send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021, and love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for future newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where the past radio and teaching letters are archived for your added learning.
And where you can leave your email address to receive other timely messages.
Also remember, the first Friday of every month, Shofar Assembly meets at Chester Christian Center at 11815 Chillicothe Road in Chestlin, Ohio. And, you know, I'd like to lift up our daughter April in prayer and my Aunt Gladys. If you listeners out there could remember those two names, we would really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, and thank you, dear. Tonight I want to bring to your attention a day coming soon that actually I seldom speak on because it's not one of the seven feasts, and since we're always trying to cover one of them. But I'm going to mention this date tonight because, well, you'll see. It's called the 17th of Tammuz on the Jewish calendar because this year it should be mentioned that it also falls on our 4th of July, just like it did in 1776.
Okay, tell us what has happened in the past on the 17th of Tammuz.
Well, if you insist.
Ha, ha.
Okay, in Scripture, it's called the fourth month because Tammuz is actually a Babylonian name given to this fourth month, but it was given during the Babylonian captivity. This is also the name of a false god called Tammuz, and you can read about him in Ezekiel 8:14. But anyhow, the Hebrews decided to keep it even after they left Babylon, which should give you a little clue as to the condition of at least some of their hearts. I don't think I would have kept it. But anyway, so let's step back a little and look at the first pretty remarkable day called the 17th day of the fourth month. Let's go way back to Exodus when God had given the Hebrews their law. And this was at Mount Sinai, and we know it's called Pentecost. Well, the 40th day after that, after Pentecost, is the 17th of the fourth month. Again, not yet named Tammuz. And this was the very day that Moses returned from the mountain and witnessed the worshiping of the golden calf. That resulted in 3,000 idolaters killed. And this was by God. Scripture is very plain. Then later on in 586 BC, on this same date of the 17th of the fourth month, again on the biblical calendar fourth month, and again, unfortunate for the Israelites, but the Babylonians broke through the walls surrounding Jerusalem. And that set the stage for the horrendous temple destruction 21 days later on the 9th and 10th of Av. And we'll talk about that too as well. But here's where it gets intriguing, because many hundreds of years after that, in 70 AD, again in the fourth month, now it's called Tammuz, and on the 17th, once again, we see Israel's enemies, who are now the Romans, began to continuously catapult large boulders at the temple, killing an enormous amount of priests. And sure enough, 21 days later, the Romans set fire to the second temple, also on the 9th of Av, the very same date as the first temple.
I think with all the studies you have taught about these happening on certain dates, that although we are not taught, we are taught not to be date setters, it seems God is.
That's right. That's a good point. And without a doubt, in my mind anyway, God is the date setter. And it's for specific judgments to occur. He already knows. He has the date set for the world's judgment that most believe and signs show is very soon. And from my studies, I believe will be on specific historical dates. Now, here's a good thing. For us Americans, God gave a blessing on this date of Tammuz 17 in 1776, which fell on our July 4th. The Declaration of our Independence was announced, breaking our bonds to Britain, as well as opening up a home for the Jewish refugees fleeing from thousands of years of racial anti-Semitism and religious persecution. So, America became a blessed land. Why? For our support of the Jews and then the reborn state of Israel in 1948. So we see that the 17th of Tammuz, which again is our July 4th this year, can be either a blessing or it can be a curse. What about this year? What have we done for Israel? What are we about to do that God already knows about? Well, July 4th, on the 17th of Tammuz this year, bring a blessing or a curse? Remember, President Obama is basically siding with Iran over Netanyahu's pleading with Congress not to. But the worst is what our United States Supreme Court did recently by agreeing with our State Department that Jerusalem is not a part of Israel any longer. That's big. And might have been the final straw for judgment on America. And in case you're still not convinced that God has set some pretty significant dates, let's look at some other important happenings. Besides both temples being destroyed on the same date of the 9th of Av, which this year on our calendar is July 25th, it was on this date, the 9th of Av, that the 12 spies returned from Canaan with the report of giants in the land, and therefore they would not go in or trust God to overcome those giants. I have to ask right now, how about you? Are you trusting God to overcome the giants in your life? A question we should all be asking ourselves. So let's look at still another disaster exactly 1 year after the destruction of the second temple in 71 AD on the 9th of Av. The exact prophecy that Micah proclaimed in chapter 3, verse 12, happened. That Jerusalem would be plowed down as a field, becoming a heap of ruins. It happened. And there's more. On the 9th of Av in 135 AD, a bloodbath occurred. Again by the Romans, where approximately 600,000 Jewish soldiers fell by the sword. Historians reported that the horses were wading in their girths in blood, mire, and mud. This was just southwest of Jerusalem in the valley of Betar. Another thing that happened on the 9th of Av, and this was in the year 1290 AD, all the Jews were expelled out of England by King Edward I. Now listen to this. It wasn't until the Jews were allowed to go back to England and resettle there in 1657 that the British Empire's prosperity and world power rose significantly. Do you think they made the connection? Well, certainly not all. For in 1920, after promising to give the Jews a national homeland, which was written in the Balfour Declaration in 1917, they changed their minds, which resulted in the Holocaust, because the Jews had nowhere to flee. So, England became cursed again and lost her empire. Finally, in 1948, Israel received her land, but was only 17% of what was originally promised to them, and still had to fight to keep it. Now, what's really amazing is that Spain, after seeing what happened to England, did the same thing, also expelling around 800,000 Jews in 1492. Therefore, they too soon saw a decrease in Spain's fortune. Also worth mentioning is this is the same day that Christopher Columbus left Spain to discover America, which later proves very beneficial to the Jews. One more date we need to bring attention to is that again on the 9th of Av in 1914, World War I was declared. Yes, very bitter. But it did help to set the stage for the dramatic events for the creation of Israel in 1948. But not till after many Jews were sacrificed. It was just terrible times. and another one more on the 9th of Av in 1942 was the mass deportation of Jews from Warsaw to Treblinka's death camp in Poland. So, not a very good day to remember, is it? And you say, oh, well, that's just all coincidence. Well, the odds of all these mostly disasters happening on the same date is one in hundreds of zillions. Really. So do the nations learn from history? Well, not as a whole. But some scholars say often enough. And they also say that those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. America, too, seldom learns. For at least since 1993, we have, inch by inch and piece by piece, had a huge hand in forcing Israel to make concessions of the little land they have, where the President of the United States, President Obama, even calls it occupied. And as I said, they had to fight two wars to keep what was already given to them. It really is absurd in the natural mind. But the God of Israel, who never slumbers or sleeps, has his eye carefully adjusted and knows what is happening. And one day, very soon, the Lord will rule over Jerusalem and his bride, then his wife, according to Revelation 19:7, when we come back, we'll have had our wedding. And then we're going to be ruling and reigning with him forever and ever. No more tears, no more pain. And you know what else? Just as in the days of Lot, although we are seeing and will see turmoil, but that just shines us up. But he will remove his righteous before the worst of the worst happens. And that's his promise, his blessed hope to us. So whatever you're going through, saints, and I know it can sometimes be heart-wrenching, never forget his promises, especially that he is always with us. So don't complain. Rather, study his word to be totally sanctified. Pray and witness and just totally trust him in all things. And beware, you mustn't let the cares of this life overtake you like a thief. Plan ahead to spend quality time with him. He's your God, your creator. You know, I am reminded about a professor that was an expert in time management who was speaking to a group of business students. And to drive home an important point, he used this illustration, and I really need to share it with you because it is very appropriate for these times where God says to redeem these days wisely. Well, this professor pulled out a wide-mouthed, large mason jar and set it on his desk and said it was time for a quiz to these high-powered overachievers. He then took about a dozen fist-sized rocks and carefully placed one at a time into the jar till no more would go in and asked, "Is the jar full?" At which time they quickly all replied, "Yes." "Really?" the professor said. Then he reached under the table and pulled out a bucket of gravel, dumping it into the jar while shaking, working the gravel down to between all the rocks. And he then asked again, "Is this jar full?" Now the class was cautious to reply, but said, "Probably not." "Good," he said, and reached under the desk and brought out a bucket of sand and began pouring it into the jar to the top, and asked again, "Is it full?" At which time they said, "No way." To which the professor said, "Good," as he grabbed a pitcher of water. Now, until now, it was full, but now it's even totally full. And he said, "What is the point of this illustration?" Well, at the same answer that is often given, they said. Well, no matter how full your schedule is, if you really try hard, you can always fit some more stuff in it. Well, that is not the correct answer, and not true at all. The correct answer is if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in. So let me ask you, what are the big rocks in your life? For most Christians, it's your Bible study time, which is why you must at least log it in your date planner and then stick to it. It's your date with God. He's your creator. So, precious ones, if there's anybody out there listening and you have never made Jesus Lord over your life, please know that Christ died on the cross for you. And if you were the only one, he still would have done it for you. And he went through hell for you. And he even stands today, right now, at the door of your heart and knocks. And he says this in Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. He's knocking right now at the door of your heart. You wouldn't be listening to this program if he wasn't wooing you into a love relationship with him. But I got to tell you, he will never crash the door down. It's your move. You and I are beneficiaries of a real love story that was written in his blood on a wooden cross erected in Judea over 2,000 years ago. And you know what I have to also mention, because this is very important. If you even wonder if you are a in-name-only Christian that Matthew 7:21 through 23 talks about, who only has a head knowledge of him and not a heart conviction, you ask, well, how do you know? You will know if you absolutely have no desire to be in his word, no desire to be closer to him. And it's really only the word that's going to bring that closeness, because he wrote this book for you. So get on your knees right now. Don't wait another minute, because if you hesitate, the enemy might steal that seed away. Repent of your individual sins that might have a stronghold over you. It's a form of deliverance. Just repent, get rid of them, put them under the blood, and then commit, or in some cases recommit, your life to Yeshua. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants him. And remember this, God sends no one to hell. No one. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call. Don't be a fool, and make sure that you tell as many people as you can all about him. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from Numbers 6:22. Yivarekaka Adonai v'yishmeaka Ya'a Adonai pana v'leka v'yineka Yasei Adonai pana v'leka v'yasem laha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for America too. Because those who love Jerusalem, you surely will prosper. Psalms 122:6 says that. Keep looking up. He's coming soon, I promise you. And tell as many people as you can that Jesus is Lord. Till next time.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.